Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Marisol. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good. I love seeing you.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, too. I like those compliments. This week we are, I believe we are on episode 10.
I've lost track of the number.
I know. Guide me of the 15 parenting strategies for calm and effective parenting. We are going to discuss Guide Me today.
Exciting.
Are you ready?
Absolutely.
I was just giving you my example before the podcast.
I love it. I hope you'll bring it up later.
So let me read from our book on Guide Me. Why is this important? And this is from the perspective of a child. This shows me that you know the importance of me discovering my own journey and that you have confidence in my ability to do so. How? Please do not try to control me. It will not work, and I will just feel angry. Please do not allow me to control you. It will not work, and I will feel worried that I have too much power. Please share your wisdom with me. Let me know you are available if needed, and allow me to create my own path.
This one gives me chills.
Yeah, it's an important one.
Absolutely.
It's an important one. The example I have, because I feel like my role in this is just to give you real life examples.
The most important part, actually.
No.
So we all feel normal.
Well, I think I was blessed with twins for this particular reason, because I've been given a control group to just study children.
I like that analogy.
So I have 17-year-old twins, about to be 18-year-old, and they're boy-girl twins. And when I read this, I immediately think of my son, because this was written for him and me.
Which part exactly? Yeah.
Do not control me.
All right, okay.
What resonates with me about this is I felt this way about my son from when he was born. Mm-hmm. When you just see someone who, he, as a toddler, didn't want to be controlled. He just had this independence about him.
You're clenching your fist, yeah, as you did, like the determined toddler. Yes.
Yes, he was. He would. I remember I had this vivid memory of him walking around in like with a tie and a little suitcase around Christmas time. He's just always been this, you know, a man in a little boy's body. So this one resonates a lot with me because a lot of some of the conflict we've had over the years has come from me trying to control him, to fit him into what I believe, you know, my firstborn son.
There's that fist again.
Should do. Well, I think that comes, you know, culturally, Hispanics have this, I'm sure there's a clinical term for it, but the way we raise our boys, the men, is, you know, someone should do a study.
Someone should do a study on all
on all cultures. But yes, controlling, learning to give him space was one of the greatest gifts I had with my relationship with him, which is the complete opposite of his twin, who needs more guidance from me, who will come and ask me to literally hold her hand through a process. He will be the complete opposite. He's hands off until he needs me, and then he'll come and ask me for help. So I've had to learn that. I've had to learn that because my instinct, especially again growing up the way I grew up, was that you conform your children to the way you're the adult.
You shove them in the box.
You shove them in the box, and you do as I say, or you're not respecting me, and you're wrong. That does not work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't really work with anyone.
Yeah. So do you want to tell a little more about this?
Yeah. Well, I'm appreciating your level of awareness, and I'm thanking you for your children that you know how they operate and what they need, which I appreciate. That's the goal for all of us, right?
Well, it's like the antidote I told you. He walked into my room yesterday wearing something that triggered me. It was a political garment.
It's a deep breath.
Deep breath. And I would say if this had happened 10 years ago, I probably would have lost my mind. Right. I would have, my friends would agree with me. I would have just lost my shit.
Yeah.
The me of today, I did. I made a face because it just kind of triggered me. Uh-huh. And then he said, what? And I could tell he was waiting to see if I was going to.
He threw a rope at you.
He threw a rope at me. And I said, if you want to identify with that hat, that's up to you. I still love you. And he just took the hat off. And, you know, that was the end of that.
Beautiful. So, nice adult interaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 years ago, it would have been like, do you know what that hat represents?
And he would have gotten 15 hats.
Yes.
And put them around the house for you to trip on.
Stickers on the car.
Yeah.
The less antagonized I am, the less of an issue it's become. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's, again, some layers to this, right? So first I want to talk about kind of why we try to control. Because my experience has been if we ask parents if they're trying to control their children, they'd say no. Right? And that's what I used to believe, too. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't think it's true.
Right. So, again, parenting is fraught with anxiety. We're scared, right? We want to create these happy, high-functioning people, and we're scared that if we allow them to create their own path, and I'm speaking in general terms, then they'll screw it up. Mm-hmm. And then what will that mean for them? And then what will that mean for us that we've failed as a parent? You know, there's a spectrum of this, that we didn't do as good a job as we wanted to, that they don't believe what we want to believe. Go ahead.
Does it also feel maybe not natural to give them the space to, you know, be who they are?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like as a parent, especially, you know, they're little babies, they come to you and you're mm-hmm. responsible for everything. It is kind of hard to step back and be like, make mistakes.
Oh, it's one of the one I believe, or yes. My experience has been, it's one of the hardest things for me as a parent. Because when we give them the space, which we're going to talk in a few minutes, is really the healthy thing to do mm-hmm. for them and for us, they will make mistakes. They will fall down. Mm-hmm. And when they're babies and we have to keep them alive, right? Everything we do is to protect them. That's, you know, we internalize that, thankfully, right? Mm-hmm. And then as they grow, the job is to really balance giving them the space to guide themselves with us walking next to them and still protecting them as much as we have mm-hmm. power yeah. to do so, which changes as they grow because hopefully they become more competent and aware and smarter and more intuitive and all of that as they grow. But it really comes back to, I want to give ourselves some grace, that our intention is typically to create these happy, successful people, whatever that means to you. And so it comes from a good place. It's, you know, again, like we always say, we're all doing our best with the tools we have and we have great intentions. So when we, though, try to control them, well, number one, we can't control anyone. And that's a topic I spent a lot of time talking to people about. And I had to spend a lot of time in my own brain wrapping my head around that. We really can't control anybody in this world but ourselves, right? We can say things that trigger people, just like your son, or do things, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really up to us as individuals how we feel about something. And whatever's in our backpack typically dictates our response, right? How we feel about something and then our response. So it's kind of the classic, our thoughts determine how we feel, which determines our behaviors. And so with our children or with anyone, when we try to control, it's futile because we can't. Mm-hmm. And then that just leads to feeling frustrated, angry.
Or escalation, because I'm remembering an incident again with my mm-hmm. son, whom I love very, very much. Mm-hmm. Where I did try to control him, mm-hmm. I was trying to control the situation, and it just escalated and escalated. It was, and he won. If now that I think back, there is nowhere more to escalate unless I broke every single rule of these parenting strategies.
Right, right. I'm glad you didn't.
So it escalated and escalated, and it was a realization that I'm not going to control. I can't control.
You can't.
Yeah.
Right, and when you try, right, people dig in. Mm-hmm. Right? They just tug harder on
like
that rope. Literally dig in. Absolutely. Dig in. Well, if you think about it as adults, when you're interacting with someone, let's just say you're at work, right? And you get into something with someone and you feel like you can control the outcome, typically they're not going to look at you and say, oh, wait a minute, you're right, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people do that. But more often than not, it's people want to be right, mm-hmm. right? And so they dig in. It's just human nature. Yeah. And so we don't want to go to work and have bosses that try to control us. Put this there. Take your feet down. Don't do this. You're mm-hmm. 5 minutes late. All of that, right? Mm-hmm. And I've given parents homework to really count every day how many times we tell our children to do something or don't do mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And it's pretty annoying if someone treats us that way.
Yeah.
So it's really, and we'll talk about kind of how to do this in a few minutes, but it's really all about finding the balance between how do I walk next to them? I don't want to stand over them and control. And then I also don't want to stand under them. And I'll talk about that for a minute or two. That's the allowing them to have too much power, mm-hmm. right? So that's the opposite end of the spectrum. And not really where we want to be.
That's a different dynamic than the examples I've given.
Yeah. So that's the allowing them to, quote, control us or mm-hmm. give them the illusion that they can.
Like they have the power dynamic at the house.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'll just keep on this teenager mm-hmm. example, and then we'll talk about younger kids. But I had a parent whose child was really angry with something that he did. And the child was pushing him away, you know, overtly saying mm-hmm. some not so nice things that are hurtful. And the father, you know, that hurt his heart. And so he distanced himself because he thought, well, this kid doesn't really want me to be involved right now. And what I told him was, his behavior is saying that to you, but if you allow that to happen, that's going to create anxiety for him because he's really just scared mm-hmm. underneath all that, and anger is safer mm-hmm. to be angry, right? It doesn't take good care of us, but it protects us from being vulnerable. So he's testing you to see if he can push you away, but he doesn't want you to go away. So lean in, even though it's hard. Lean in, show him that he doesn't have the power to push you away. That no matter what he says or does, you will always love him, right? You always think he's awesome in his soul. You don't like his tone of voice or his words or all of that. We don't allow ourselves to be abused, absolutely, mm-hmm. because then we're teaching our children that that's okay,
yeah.
right? But you say things like, I know you're hurting right now. I understand that you're angry with me and that's okay. I love you very much. Kind of like the example mm-hmm. you gave with the hat, just mm-hmm. a little bit more benign example. Yeah. And I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep leaning in every day with a text, with a, hey, how are you? Hey, I love you. Something like that. Because when kids feel like they can control us, like it's the three-year-old mm-hmm. that when we say that they can't have the cookie, but we give in and we give them the cookie, they feel like they have power to control us. And that scares them because they know that they're not able. They don't have the brain mm-hmm. yet, their development. It's not the words that they use in their brain, right? To be in charge.
So they get anxious.
They get anxious. And then when people are anxious, they typically act out mm-hmm. because they're trying to get the ground to stop shaking.
Would it be fair to say that this concept, the guide me concept, can be kind of framed into sometimes the power dynamic of the parent-child relationship? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so how important it is and how to be, handle it carefully so that you're not, you're giving them space to be who they need to be. Mm-hmm. And you're also still in charge. You're still the adult in the home making exactly. the rules.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you bring that. And we can bring that back, tie that back to our last podcast when we were talking about the techniques. What were we talking about?
To make time for.
Making time for me. When we were talking about creating structure, holding mm-hmm. our children accountable, that's yeah. the right one. Yeah. When we talked about giving choices. Right. So with guiding, we do set the box when they're young. It's time to get in the car. That's the box. You want to hop like a bunny or pretend you're a train. So we're still in charge and our child feels that. I need to get in the car. But my parent is giving me space to figure out how to get in the car mm-hmm. in a way that works for me. Do I want to fly there like Batman? Do I want to hop like a bunny? What do I want to do? Right. So that's really the way to do it. So our children know the rules in our home. They know what language is tolerated. They know when they have a bedtime. All that structure, right? Mm-hmm. But to make sure throughout the day, throughout our interactions in the kind of logistical things, but also in the emotional things, that we give them the choice to
Navigate,
perfect word. Yeah. And again, when they're younger, we give them less space to do this, but as they grow and as they show us they're capable of handling increased independence and increased space to guide themselves, we do that. Yeah.
I'll speak for, you know, the relationship with my son and I, which again is so different than the relationship I have with mm-hmm. his siblings, because of this particular, I know for him, I have to give him space to make his mistakes. And mm-hmm. it's so hard and counterintuitive for a parent.
Yeah.
I'm living it right now with some situations as he, you know, with insurance and car insurance mm-hmm. and the mistakes mm-hmm. that he has made and he has to correct or mm-hmm. what's the word I'm looking for? Deal with the consequences,
right.
the mm-hmm. natural consequences mm-hmm. of all that. And what I've seen, what I love is I feel that there's a trust now that he will come and talk to me mm-hmm. versus, again, let's say if this had played out 10 years ago, we would be fighting all the time and
right.
be like, you have to do this and you have to do this and now you have to pay this.
Right.
Where it's now it's, he knows what the rules are. He does what he has to do, mm-hmm. and then he'll come when he's ready, and
he'll circle back,
and we have a conversation,
love
and
it.
He listens. I'm not saying he takes 100% right. of my advice, but I can sense that he's listening and respecting my thoughts.
Absolutely, because guess what? You listen to him, and you've been respecting his thoughts to an appropriate level as he's grown. That's beautiful that, you know, when we give them the power, when it's age and developmentally appropriate to handle these things, we're telling them we have confidence in them, which is a huge self-esteem boost. Mm-hmm. And then they actually nail it and they feel better, or they don't and they learn from it because they feel what it's like.
Or you get that wonderful phrase of, you were right, Mom.
Yeah.
Love that phrase.
I know. I say it to myself all the time, even when they don't, right? Yeah, because you're showing them that it's safe. It all goes back to the foundation of Be the Adult. We need to show up in a way that is safe for our children, that they feel like their hearts are held, their individuality is held, right? There's space for that. And then when we can give them that, that feels really good. They feel respected. They feel loved. They feel honored. They feel capable. And then they circle back when they really need the guidance mm-hmm. because it's a safe space to do so.
And from my personal perspective, having him ask for it, mm-hmm. I know he absorbs it much more than if I'm trying to dictate it to him.
Right. Which if you think about it in a different system at work, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to work, if your boss just stands over you and tells you you're doing it wrong, you need to do it his way, most of us want to give him the finger, right? Yeah. But if it's like if the boss gives us space to be creative and shows us he has confidence in him, then we feel safe to say, hey, this is what I came up with. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can kind of co-create
yeah.
to have a discussion and co-create the product.
I love the title of it, which is Guide Me, because mm-hmm. and the visual of walking alongside.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I feel that, at least from our generation, maybe culturally, I don't know, there is a sense you're the parent, you control. You're mm-hmm. in charge.
Mm-hmm.
My rules, my way. Very authoritarian.
Uh-huh.
And I've not seen an example of that working well. I have friends. I have, who feel this way, who grew up this way. But they're also the same friends who will say, I don't have that kind of communication I have with my kids. I wish I had that closeness.
Right.
And I sort of feel like saying these are the steps to get that, because that authoritative, you have to do it my way. I don't see examples of that working.
Yeah, let me tell you why. I mean, there are a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons why is because when I am standing above you, pointing my finger at you, right? Most of us, it's human nature, we don't want to be told what to do or how to be, right? And so we'll focus our energy on pushing back against that, mm-hmm. on quote, fighting that at some level, instead of pointing the finger at ourselves and being able to be my best self and focusing on how do I really feel about that. And so our children get so caught up in kind of fighting back that they often know that we're right because we have the experience and right
and the knowledge, yeah.
and the knowledge, but they have to dig in and they can't quote lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up shooting themselves in the foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
and doing things that they kind of know is not right or doesn't feel right, just to go against us, to become more independent. And we don't want that. And so when we can walk next to them with everything that we just talked about, there's less energy pushing back. Some of it's healthy and normal to a to a balanced extent, but there's less energy spent on that. And then the other energy can be spent, hey, how do I feel about that? Will it take good care of me to study tonight for my exam tomorrow? Because what are my goals? Instead of, oh my God, mom's riding my back to study. Get off my back. Ah, that's where the energy goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it in my life. And the only thing I want to add is having multiple children is that, you know, like I use the example with my son. This isn't necessarily what I need to use with his twin. His twin requires, she requires more guidance from me and asks for it. So it's not about a power dynamic so much with her, but children are different. There are some children where this particular issue will elicit a lot of anger, a lot of slammed doors, a lot of frustration, a lot of just anger coming out, I feel. Do you feel like
when are you talking about your?
I'm kind of talking about older teenage kids.
Yeah,
it's not universal when I'm saying that all children aren't going to be angry if you try to control them. But I feel like with this particular parenting strategy, you will see anger be born from a controlled environment.
Yeah, and you'll also see it from the other end of the spectrum when we let go too much, right?
When you give them too much
freedom. Freedom, because that translates in their brain, the mom doesn't care. Dad doesn't give a shit, or else he would be asking about my homework or my friends or my classes and all of that. And so it's really, again, the balance, right? Because a lot of people, say children but adults too, act angry when they're really scared. And so it's hard to know if they really are angry or they're just really scared. So kids on this other end of the spectrum that we give too much space to, that we really disengage too much, often act angry, whether that's overtly towards us or they act out in some pretty scary ways. They're really, you know, waving at us like, hello, here I am, you know, create a box for me. And so it's important to know that often what's underneath anger sometimes is anger, but often it's fear. fear or hurt, another feeling that, again, it's harder to sit in that vulnerability and feel my hurt or express my hurt, especially if we haven't modeled that for them or express my anxiety. Or if I don't have coping skills for anxiety, then I'll get angry to, quote, protect myself. And so really the way to deal with this is, right, try to have a healthy balance as your children are little and still check in with them. I keep going back to this, and I wish I had done it more when my kids were little. To say to your three-year-old, hey, how's mom doing, right? And to your five-year-old, you know, in different ways, but as they grow up in elementary school, and say, I want to know, you know I taught you to tie your shoes. I've watched you do it. Let's talk about how much guidance you need while you're still practicing. So check in with them, ask them, and then you'll start to be able to put your finger on the pulse of what's working for them. But keep checking back in, because that will change, that will evolve as they grow. Because we can't read their minds. We can't always know how much control they want, how much they don't.
It's, it's a fine line. It's a
very fine line. And just checking in with them shows them that we want to do this in a way that honors where they are.
Yeah. I think what I was trying to say, and I probably didn't articulate it correctly, is this particular parenting strategy, I believe, could evoke anger, is what I was trying to say, more than other ones, where if you're trying to control them. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. Because look, in relationships, adult relationships, nobody wants to be controlled. Nobody wants, I'm speaking
in general.
But but most of us don't want to be controlled. Most of us don't want people telling us all day long what to do, what not to do. It just, it does trigger anger in most people. Yeah, and also kind of tears confidence down, too. It's like, well, maybe I do need to be controlled, right?
Yeah. And I think for parents, it's the hard, for me, I shouldn't speak in broad terms like that. When you're not given an education in how to parent, which I wasn't.
Most of us aren't.
Most of us aren't. You do believe that you're in charge. And and this arbitrary age of 18 is given to us, that until you're 18, you follow my rules or you have to do what I have to say. And that's just not very healthy. It's not a very healthy social condition that we've put upon us.
Right. It's a good point. We could have a whole podcast about that. Yeah. And the reality is they're living in our homes, mm-hmm. and they are our role. There are a lot of roles that we need to teach them, and we are paying for things, and we are the air quotes adult, right, in the dynamic. So, so there is a healthy amount of that, and then a healthy amount of space, and it's really trying to figure out what that balance is.
It's a navigation. It's a beautiful dance. You know,
exactly. Great way to say it.
There's a lot of different parenting strategies out there, and there are some that are just basically dedicated to this, how to parent in this fashion. I will say for myself that, you know, the relationship I have with my son, this was a key. This was a key strategy that I needed to learn, which was completely not the way I was raised, not the way I was culturally raised, conditioned to believe. I shut off my phone before the podcast, but I was going to read to you a text my son sent me last night, which is, it was like, love you, thank you for everything you do. You know, very sweet and very authentic. There was, there are times where he may have sent that wanting something. But at that moment, it was in relation to the, just giving him space to be whatever, you know, hat or political party he wants to be.
Yeah. So can I make a play on words? I forgot the term for that. But our children during their teenage adolescent years are trying to figure out their identity, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the metaphors, they try on different hats, like literally, right?
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Right. And if we tell them, no, you can't wear that hat, or no, that's not good enough, it just creates the shame, it creates the anger, they push back. And sometimes they get stuck in that one, wearing that one hat just to prove a point, just to be different from us. But if we give them the space, it's like, hey, you're trying on different hats, beautiful. What's that like for you wearing that hat? What's that like for you wearing this hat? This is how I feel when I notice you wearing that hat. Then they can really figure out who they really are, where they're going, and they feel honored and respected along the way.
The way I described it to one of my friends, because I was telling her about this, she laughed. It's a political hat. And so
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. She was laughing and she's like, take a picture with the hat. You know, she wanted to send it. Tell my friends, I said, the way I think of it, though, is sort of, you know, that characterization of a teenage girl who just goes through like a emo phase and wears like dog collars and dyes her hair black. That's the way I'm choosing to look at it. He's trying on different hats, like you said.
Trying to figure out what works for him, what feels good.
What kind of man he's going to grow up to be, and giving him that space and not shaming him or, you know, kind of letting him know where I'd like him to land on this.
Well, you've been modeling that for his 18 years, right? Your value system and who you are. Yeah.
But just giving him that space is has been just a wonderful gift, because I think that's been the key in our relationship, where the times that it has been contentious, there has been anger, there has been digging in of the heels, literally. Mm-hmm. It has been situations where I'm trying to control him for, you know, and as you said earlier, as a parent, my intentions were always good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I woke up and I'm like, I just want to be a bitch today and control my son.
We all have moments where we do think that.
Okay. There were reasons behind me wanting to, you know, assert my parental power during those situations.
Your illusion of power, yes. Mm-hmm.
And they never worked out for me. Right. And it just created bigger problems. But now I've had a number of those experiences where I'm like, if I just give space, take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Like, I take a deep breath, give him space. And it's like, I'm just giving you space to do what you need to do. And if it's fail, if it's make a mistake, it's make a wrong choice, I'll still be here. I'll still love you and I'll support you through it. But
yes,
that's on you.
Yes. And when they're three, we can't allow them to run out in this road to suffer that consequence. But we can give them power in other ways in the home, right? And then when they're 18, a beautiful example. And two of my boys now, who are in their early 20s, have circled back, and we have a beautiful relationship. And now my youngest, who's in college, I'm literally talk myself through every day of not texting him, of giving him his space, of showing my confidence in him. And doing that, he reaches out more to share things.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah. I wonder if I had reached out, if he would have shared that.
Yeah.
Or he would have been just like, hey, Mom, you know,
yeah.
and maybe gotten annoyed that I'm, you know.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know. But it's just being aware of how we make contact.
Yeah.
And honoring who they are at all stages.
So tying this up, what would you say to parents across all ages? Because I know it's heavy on the teenage years. But
yeah.
what would you say for them to look at or look for in respect to this parenting strategy?
Yeah, it really comes back to awareness. Awareness of when I feel that I'm being, quote, too controlling, what's getting triggered in me? What am I scared of? And, you know, what's the worst thing can happen? And can I live with that? And if it's life or death, probably not. And we need to err on the side of creating a lot more structure and air quotes controlling. Mm-hmm. Not really, but
yeah.
But having more input. Or is it, you know, that they're going to learn that when they say something that their friend doesn't want to come play and that is not life or death. And so I want my child to learn that. It's really just increasing our awareness of that balance. Mm-hmm. And then checking in, especially as our kids get older, if they feel like we're, you know, giving them what they need, the space they need, and if not, negotiating that out with them.
Well, this is going to lead beautifully into our next episode, Earn My Trust.
Because
I think one builds the block for the next one.
Exactly.
So check in with our next podcast, episode 11, Earn My Trust. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Marisol. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support. Bloomington Gastroenterology, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, Dermatology Associates, the Law Office of Jeffrey Porter, Carolina Storage. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.